Lord, how you would have us to live our lives. Lord, I thank you so much for giving us the gospel, the good news of how we could have our sins forgiven and how we can be declared righteous, not because we are righteous, but Lord, because the righteous one, Jesus Christ, shed his own royal blood on that cross for our sins in our place and is offering us, Lord, forgiveness and redemption of sin through his sacrifice. Lord, I thank you so much that he has done that and that we have that chance. I thank you, Lord, for just the work you've been doing even in my own life. You've taken me from where I was before I was saved and before I knew Christ as my Lord and Savior, and everything you've done, and to bring me to where I am now. Lord, I can't attribute that to anything but you and your mercy. And I know, Lord, we can go around the room this morning and share similar testimonies and spend the rest of the day just glorifying you and praising you, Lord, for the wonderful good news of your gospel. So, Lord, as we go into the time of preaching, I pray and ask that you would bless it, that you would speak to us, Lord, and help us to learn how we can be better followers of Christ. And then, Lord, give us the opportunities and the courage to go and share the gospel with as many people as we possibly can. We are the bearers of the greatest news in the world. Let us not keep it to ourselves, but to share with everyone who will listen. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, it's interesting how sometimes God will just put things in your life and across your path that completely shake things up than what you originally planned to do. And so that's kind of what happened with this morning's message. God has, through circumstances, kind of redirected where I was going to go this morning. And what I'd like to do this morning is consider how it is that God works in our lives, specifically how God goes about working in our individual lives. And some days it may seem like God is hands-on at work in your life, and you can feel God moving, you can feel God working. But then the very next day, it could also feel like God is a million miles away. Like, God, what happened? I just felt you there. Where'd you go? Now, there are a multitude of specific reasons that we could always point to as to why that might be the case, but there's actually only one principle at play that I believe explains it. And so I'd like to encourage you to get your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. And with this one verse, Paul explained to the churches at Ephesus that we were created for a purpose. We were created for a specific purpose. And not only that, but there is also a special work that takes place within us the moment we get saved. And that work, Paul, he explained, is an ongoing process throughout our life. It doesn't stop the moment you get saved. So let's look at what Paul said, and let's learn about how this is a reality for us even here and now. And so I'd like to ask, if you're able, to please stand for the reading of God's Word. It might feel a little bit of up, down, but it's one verse. I think we can handle it this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. If you're there, let me know by saying amen. 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 Sounds like we're all there. So follow along as I read. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So this morning, I'd like to preach a message that I've entitled, In the Master's Workshop. Living life in the Master's workshop. So may God bless the reading of his word as you're seated. We'll get into the message this morning. Here's a phrase that I really hope and pray is familiar. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Now, while this statement holds true in respect to rights and treatment of all people, if you actually consider it, I believe it's a false statement. I do not believe all men are created equal. And here's what I mean by that. We are all equal in our sense of worth and respect. Like, every individual is equal in that regard, but we are hardly equal when it comes to just about every other area of life. We are not all born alike. Some of us are born strong and healthy, while others, they struggle with sickness and deformities that they're born with. Some of us, we grow up in good homes. We had a great upbringing, but then other of us, our upbringing, you suffered terrible and horrible abuses. Some of us are naturally athletic. Others of us are, well, not. Some of us are born with a genius mind, while others, they struggle just to pass high school. We are far from equal, but just because we are a different, you could say, material from someone else does not mean we are any less valuable. God, like a master craftsman, can use whatever material he can lay his hands on and create something that is truly and utterly magnificent. And Paul, he's trying to teach the Ephesian church that our value does not lie in our material makeup, but rather our value lies in the one who is doing the shaping of our lives. God, the master craftsman that he is, will take and shape us, and he'll mold us into something that is truly beautiful and fit for a king. And so point number one I'd like you to see this morning is that a master craftsman, he uses a wide variety of material. He uses a wide variety of material. Did you know that you are unique and one of a kind? Just like everyone else. I love irony. I find that really ironic. The fact that God created us individually unique from any other human being on the planet. You have your own fingerprint. You have your own biometrics like eye print. Did you know your tongue has its own unique tongue print? I'm still proposing that the ultimate security function for your phone, instead of using a fingerprint or a facial scan, just stick your tongue on it. That'll also stop people from stealing it, probably. I think I'm onto something. But I digress. There are so many things that are unique to us on an individual level, but that also means we are just like every other human, individually unique. I find that ironic, and I find humor in that, but that's okay if you don't, and no one's perfect. You could say that the church, rather the people that make up the church, can be compared to building materials. Jesus said that when he told Peter, when Peter made his confession, that upon this rock I will build my church. And we understand that to mean that Jesus is going to build his church by placing individuals into the local assemblies. And so I praise the Lord, it's not my job to build the church, but rather that job belongs to Jesus and him alone. And talk about a huge burden off my shoulders. But the fact that Jesus is building his church, when you build something, do you use all wood or all metal? Or you know, you may use a lot of one thing, but you use a variety of different materials. The wood, the rock, the metal, and everything else come together to form a building. Now, when you look at some church buildings, it's obvious like a master craftsman was involved in the making of it. I mean, you think of like a Sistine Chapel, the Taj Mahal, like some of these great wonders of the world. Master craftsmen were clearly involved in the construction of them. And Jesus said that he will be the one who builds his church. And he was, again, not referring to a building, but to people. And Jesus, what was he by trade before he got into his ministry? A carpenter. He was a craftsman. He was the only one who could measure once and cut once. Just as a building is made up of many different materials, a church body is made up of many different materials of people. In the hands of a master craftsman, seemingly ordinary and mundane items can be turned into beautiful works of art. Let me show you some examples. Up here on the screen, you can see a block of wood, just a tree stump. Well, in the hands of a master craftsman and a chainsaw, they can create intricate works of art like that carved bear. That was carved with just a chainsaw. I mean, give me a break. That just makes me angry looking at it. It's beautiful. They can take an ordinary block of wood and create something like that. But let me give you some more examples. Block of ice. Look at what you can do with a block of ice. Look at the beautiful ice sculpture of that swan, I think it is, and just the other detail around it. It's beautiful. What about this? A big block of marble. I had to be careful when I was searching for a marble statue. Yeah, you can get some interesting results. A block of marble, and then they can use that and chisel and hammer and create. I mean, look how intricate that is. What about this? This is more my speed. Soap. You can take a bar of soap and a pocket knife, and you can whittle out. This is a pretty simple one. You can find a lot more intricate soap carvings. I just like turtles, and so that's why I picked this one. And I thought they did a fantastic job. And so in the hands of a master craftsman, they can take just about anything and create beautiful works of art out of it. Now, one sculptor who used to build the marble statues back in the day, it's like a Michelangelo, one of those guys, he made the comment that rings so true. Someone asked him how it was possible for him to do those kinds of sculptures and statues. And he told the person that, you know what, the image is there. I just have to remove everything that doesn't belong. It kind of makes you think there for a minute. The image that God has in mind for you in your Christian life, it's already there. But God has to get to work chiseling off the parts that don't belong. To take away the things in your life that don't belong there that are keeping you from looking like the person he's wanting you to become. Namely, into the image of his own son. When all is said and done, our lives are going to look different from each other the same way that a stone looks different from a bar of soap. Some of us may become the wood carving. Some of us may be the marble statue. Some of us may be the ice sculpture. Some of us may be the bar of soap whittled down into something beautiful. We all are different materials. We're all different people. We all have different upbringings and backgrounds and things like that. But in the hands of a master craftsman, God can create and does create something beautiful out of that. With the stone and the soap, both can be shaped into stunning works of art, but you also need to remember that the techniques involved with working with rocks is night and day from that working with a bar of soap. And so when we are being molded by Christ, he is going to use different methods. You're going to go through different life experiences than someone else who's trying to follow Christ in their life, and that's okay. He's using different methods to accomplish his will in our lives. And so that's why some people, again, will go through certain circumstances while others will not. But we can take comfort in the knowledge that if we are allowing Christ to be the one that is shaping our lives, then the end result is going to be absolutely beautiful. We can have that reassurance in knowing that, you know what, it may not be comfortable right now to know that I'm having something chiseled out of my life. I'm having something reshaped and formed and removed. But I know that if Christ is doing it, it's going to be worth it. That in the end result, it's going to be magnificent. Just as a master craftsman does not expect the same results from different materials, so too God does not expect cookie-cutter results from our lives. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that God can use us on our own individual level and not just create a stamp model Christian, like, there's a Christian, there's a Christian, there's a Christian. No. Look around. If you are a believer, you have the ability to be a Christian as you follow Christ in your life, and you're going to look completely different than the next Christian. So while we may not be cookie cutter, there are two things, however, that God does expect from all of us, and I'd say has the right to expect, and is that we are to love God and to love others. So regardless of what material you may be, those two things you have in common. We are to love God, and we are to love others. So in addition to being able to use a wide variety of materials, a master craftsman is also painstakingly detail-oriented. And so point number two this morning, I want you to see that a master craftsman takes his time. He takes his time and he pays close attention to detail. I mentioned the Sistine Chapel earlier. How long do you suppose it took to construct that and to paint the ceiling? And just think about all the intricate carvings along the panels. I could look it up in a history book, but I don't know. But how long did it take to construct that? What about the army of clay? Thousands and thousands of clay soldiers, each one patterned after a different person. Not one is the same. They're all individual. A true master craftsman does not rush his work. He takes his time, methodically poring over every single little detail, and he misses nothing. That's what makes him a master craftsman. God, the master craftsman, he is constantly shaping and reforming us in order to reflect what is going to become the final product. So imagine, if you will, a potter. This is the biblical illustration. Imagine a potter sitting at the potter's wheel. And the clay, it's just a lump of clay. It's spinning before him. He dips his hands in the water, and he starts to put his hands on the clay, and he starts to mold it and starts to shape it. And over time, as it's spinning, it's beginning to go from a lump and turn maybe into a vase or a vase, if that's more your speed. And turns into a vessel, and you start to see the shape coming out, and then the potter, he's constantly forming it, and he's stepping back and looking at it and looking to see, is it proportional? Are both sides even? Is it the right height that I want it to be? Is it the right thickness? He's examining all these different things, observing the areas that are still misshapen, and so it's a constant picture of him working on the clay, stepping back and looking at it, going back to work, and ultimately, the vessel's finished. There reaches a point in time when the vessel is finished, and a beautiful vase is now sitting on the table. But actually, his work is not done yet. If you know anything about pottery, at this point, he takes the vessel, and instead of putting it on the shelf, he sticks it into his kiln. A kiln is just a very, 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 very hot oven. And what it does is it makes permanent his handiwork. Once the vessel is finished in the fire, out comes the vase. It gets painted and is fit to be displayed in the house of a king. So what does that have to do with us? How does that apply to us? I like how the songwriter, he wrote it, speaking of God, "Thou art the potter, I am the clay." It goes on to say, "Mold me and make me." How? "After thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still." That's a perfect picture of how we are to yield ourselves to God. It takes time. It's a process. But you don't do yourself any favors as you go kicking and screaming and fighting the whole way. You got to yield yourself to God. Wait on Him. Be still. God is constantly working on and evaluating our lives. Sometimes He may run across an impurity that in the clay that needs some extra attention to, that needs to get removed, something that doesn't belong there. And so He's going to take some time and start putting pressure on it, working it out. Other times, it may feel like He's not working at all. Maybe that's the time He's stepping back and looking to see, all right, this is what I've been working on. Let's see how it holds up to life's pressures. Do I need to keep working on it, or is it ready to go? Having an understanding that God is a master craftsman will help you to persevere in the tough times. When times are hard and you don't understand what God is doing exactly, just understanding that God has a purpose for whatever it is that He has allowed to cross your path, that will help you to have the strength to continue moving forward. And while you may not know the end result, you can at least trust God that He knows what He's doing and that He has your greater good in mind. Confidence in the master craftsman will also give us patience when it seems like nothing is happening. Now, when I was in school, I did pretty well on quizzes. Tests, I'd have to study for tests. But quizzes, well, my weekly mantra was, I'm just going to wing it. And I did pretty well on quizzes. But that's not the case with God. God doesn't just wing it. God has a plan. And that gets us to point number three. A master craftsman always has a plan, an end result in mind for his projects. I've never heard of a master craftsman, when he approaches his object, say whether it's the chainsaw artist with his chainsaw and the block of wood, you ask him, all right, what are you going to make? I don't know. I'm just going to start cutting and hope something comes out that looks nice. No. He says, I have this vision in mind. I want there to be a bear standing up on its hind legs, looking out, or maybe snarling. And so with that image in his mind, he begins to start cutting away and start putting the chainsaw in and working and doing whatever it is he does to make that image come to be about. I am not an artist, and so I just stand back, and I think it's voodoo, how they can do some of that stuff. But I applaud and commend all you creative types out there. You have a vision that I am lacking. But at the same time, a master craftsman has a plan. God has a specific image in mind when He is working in your life, and that is the image of Jesus Christ. He wants each of your lives to conform into that image. And again, we are all in different places. We're all at different levels in our Christian walk and spiritual maturity. And so sometimes God's going to be pushing hard on one person, but then maybe taking it easier on another person, the same way that a master craftsman will maybe make a deep cut with his chainsaw into that wood, but then somewhere else be just making little fine-tuning touches to just the last-minute improvements. God is at work in various different ways into our lives, but with the sole purpose of conforming us into the image of His Son. And He does that, and it is accomplished by the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. You see, Christ, He finished His work of redemption on the cross, but He arose from the dead and returned to heaven. There He carries on His unfinished work of perfecting His church. Christ is equipping us for our walk here on this earth. He's giving us the tools that we need, and to do this, He uses three special and specific tools. He uses the Word of God, He uses prayer, and He uses suffering. Those three tools He uses to help shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. So as we read God's Word, as we understand it, as we meditate on it, and as we feed on it, the Word goes to work in our lives. It goes on to cleanse us and to nourish us. And as we pray, God's Spirit works in us, releasing the power we need to make those changes that we find in God's Word. And as we suffer, the Spirit of God ministers to us. And suffering drives us back to the Word. It drives us back to prayer. And thus the cycle gets repeated. Too many Christians think that conversion is the only important experience and that nothing else follows. But that simply just isn't true. That's not how it works at all. You see, we are far too valuable in God's eyes to be left in a rough and unfinished shape. I like thinking of it this way. An unfinished diamond. Think of a large, unfinished diamond, something big enough to fit in my hand. That'd be worth a lot of money, huh? A large, unfinished diamond is valuable, but unremarkable. If you've ever seen an uncut diamond, they look like a rock. Nothing really special looking about them. But take that same diamond, have it cut, have it polished, and then it is both valuable and beautiful. God loves you just as you are, but He also loves you too much to leave you that way. You are that unfinished diamond. You are valuable, so much so that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins. That's how valuable you are to God. And that's how much he loves you. And so you are like this unfinished diamond. And so we are to allow ourselves now to go through the process of letting God start to cut off the rough edges, start to shape us, polish us up, and let our lives reflect his glory. Let our lives reflect his truth. And we can become like a beautiful, polished diamond, valuable and beautiful. I like how Warren Wiersbe put it. He said, "The same resurrection power that saved you and took you out of the graveyard of sin can daily help you live for Christ and glorify him. At great expense to himself, God worked for us on the cross. And today, on the basis of that price paid at Calvary, he is working in us to conform us to Christ. God cannot work in us unless he has first worked for us, and we have trusted his Son. Also, he cannot work through us unless he works in us. And this is why it is important for you to spend time daily in the Word and prayer and to yield to Christ during times of suffering. For it is through the Word, prayer, and suffering that God works in you." I know I have a lengthy quote there, but I thought it was really good. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." That's what our text says. When a person is saved, they were born again. Or you could say they were created in Christ Jesus. Everything that is created serves a purpose. Otherwise, why was it created? Everything that's created serves a purpose. And so in this case, we were created in Christ unto good works. So everything that we've just talked about, everything about God being this master craftsman, it all culminates to this truth. Our good works display to others what God has done in our lives. Rather, I should say what God is doing in our lives. How else can the world see what God is doing in our lives but by how we live our lives? How else can the world see it? We are the walking poster boy, the billboard for Jesus and the work that he can do in our lives. If I were to go back and meet people I went to high school with, I can promise you, first off, they would be shocked that I'm a Baptist preacher. that would just completely blow their minds. Why is that? Because Christ has done a work in my life. He has guided and taken me along this path to where I am now. And I wouldn't change it for the world. But God's doing the same thing in your life. God is taking you, once you've accepted Christ as your Savior, he is working in you and he is changing you for the purpose that others can look at your life and see who you used to be, but then who you are now, and behold themselves the power of Christ in a person's life. If our lives are no different than the lost people of this world, what is there then to compel them to even consider Christ? Understand that it's not our good works that save us. I know you know that's not what I'm saying. It's not our good works that save us, but the fact that because we are saved, we do good works for the purpose of bringing our Heavenly Father glory. That is what this passage is talking about. That is what God's workmanship is. We reflect God's workmanship by our good works. Life is going to be full of moments that are wonderful, uncomfortable, and even painful. That's just a fact of life. But never forget that if Jesus Christ is your Savior, you can rest assured that God is working on and through us and you in those moments in order to mold you into something truly wonderful. I look forward to the day to seeing who I ultimately become in Christ. I don't know how much time I have, whether I'll have a few years or many, many years. I don't know. But I look forward to seeing what that final product will look like. in the end, when our time on this earth is finished, we will have passed through the purifying fire, the kiln, if you will, and presented to our God and our King. At that time, God will look at the finished product of our life in much the same way that a master craftsman will step back and look at his completed masterpiece. He's going to smile because he knows that while the creation is a beautiful masterpiece, people will glorify him because he was the architect behind it all. When you look at a painting, you marvel and appreciate the painting, but you also understand it was an artist who painted it, who created it. And so that painting, however good it is, reflects upon the artist, the one who created it. The more we reflect the image of Christ in our own lives, the better it's going to make God look, the bigger his smile is going to be. We are his workmanship. The tool that is used to craft or fashion an object does not receive the glory for the beauty of the object. The paintbrush does not get the credit for the painting. Nor does the object receive the glory. People may appreciate it, they may commend it, but the hand that is behind the tool, the hand that is actually doing the work, that is who receives the credit. And so God uses the tools of his word. He uses the tool of prayer and suffering to shape us for the purpose of bringing him glory. We can take solace in that knowledge. We can rest in that fact and allow it to help us to persevere in the tough times. We go through tough times. Some of us are in tough times. Understand that God is working. God has not abandoned you. God has not left you to the curb and off to the side. God is at work in your life. You have to decide and you have to choose to let God work and trust that he knows what he's doing. Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches over his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. So have faith in God. Have faith in God. So this morning, I just want to leave you with that challenge. Have faith that God is in control of your life. Have faith that God is a master craftsman and he has a beautiful image in mind for you specifically. And so as our musicians come this morning, we'll have a time of invitation. I just want to leave you with that encouraging thought. You're an unfinished diamond. You're a work in progress. That's encouraging. You're a work in progress. But I'm thankful that I am a work in progress. I'm thankful God's not finished with me. I don't even like if I'm the finished product. I don't even like it. And I hope you're not satisfied either with where you currently are. I hope you do aspire to be more. For Christ, we have that opportunity even this morning to let Christ work in your heart, to let Christ show you something that you need to change, something you need to let him chip off. So if you have a need this morning, I'd like to encourage you to come as we all stand for a time of invitation. And as the music plays, if you have a need this morning, come to Christ. Let him take care of it.